Fairfilm Radio from the 72nd Venice Film Festival. My name is Gonzalo Suarez, and today with us is Pilo Asbæk, starred once again in the Tobias Lindholm's feature film, A War, Krigen in Danish, has just had its world premiere in the Horizonte sidebar, and will now start its international round of the festival circuit. Pilo, when did Tobias tell you about the film?
He read an article about a guy who said he had been out in Iraq or Afghanistan, and now he was going back out again, and he wasn't afraid of being killed in Afghanistan. He was afraid of being prosecuted back home when he returned to Denmark. And then Tobias was like, that's the angle I want to do. That's the war film that I want to take on. And he called me that night and asked me to come over because we're like an old marriage couple. I love him as a friend. No, but he's very tough as a director. He's a very, very tough. He's very demanding. So he made me come over, and we discussed, and I said, this is the story. I just read this article. I want you to go to war. I want a war at home. And then I want you to end up in the last hour in the courtroom where all the things we've been cheering for in 1.5 hours, we're going to turn it upside down because I want to see people's reaction.
What was your reaction when you first knew about the story?
I love Tobias's films because he makes complex stories with complex characters. As an actor, it's the greatest gift you can have. Nothing's black and white in his films. There's so much gray nuance to them, and we discussed. We kept discussing because I need, as an actor, we gotta have empathy. We gotta have empathy for the guy who kills 8 children and 3 women. And he says, "Don't worry, I'll take care of the empathy if you can be a realistic soldier." So I was like, "All right, is that my job? Is your job? So I'm gonna hook you up with these guys we're gonna use in the film. They're real life soldiers. I'm gonna hook you up with them, but I demand you do a 3-month boot camp before we start shoot, because we cannot be in at that point in Turkey, where we ended up shooting. I can't be in Turkey, and when I point the camera on you, we can see you're not a soldier. Then the film's going to be ruined. We need to believe 100%. I want it to be more realistic than a documentary."
What were those small details he referred to?
When you walk on a patrol and you walk into a door, if I just go like this, every single guy has the same movement that you move in your own axe. It's like this, and you can point the camera, the gun like that. When you sit down, you kneel on your, you go down on your knees. These kind of movement, I had to look like a guy who had done it 15 years, you know, and I had 3 months to do that. And that's the fun thing with acting, you know. I don't think it's so funny to do the movie. I think it's great to do the research. But it's, you know, it's the development of the character, not the executing of the character. That's like, now we have to shoot it. That's boring. So the whole movement was very, very, very important. And when you've seen the film, the language is difficult. 6-0 here, 7-0 Charlie Charlie. We're coming back to London. These words that I didn't understand the language, I didn't understand the military language, and I had to learn that because it's a language like learning Italian or something. So that was part of my school. So I taught these guys acting, and they taught me military training. And I did a good job because they're goddamn good actors in that film.
This is your third film with Tobias, but the relationship wasn't very good at the beginning.
We hated each other. I know I don't want to sound like over dramatic, but that's what I say as well, because we didn't work out together. And it's kind of weird that we have done 3 films now, and we have done Borgen together as well. He's like, I owe this guy my professional career, and how come we started out being enemies? Because that's what we were. I didn't think he protected me on set. I didn't think he was only interesting in the story and the character. And the first film we did was a prison film called R. And he felt I let him down, and I felt vice versa. But during the weeks of shooting, we also felt that these colliding energies is what makes it work. And we have grown into this old couple that's probably going to end up in therapy in 10 or 15 years, I don't know. I'm married to my wife, and I'm married to this guy.
So then what made you work together again?
Because he's one of the most gifted people I've ever met. He's one of the best European writers at the moment, and it's going to be a question of time before Hollywood takes the control of him, but he's going to keep it real. I know for a fact that Hollywood should be thankful if he wants to do an American film, because he can take it. He can take it. The sky's the limit for that guy. And then he's such a smart director, because when you go to an exhibition and you see a painting on the wall, no one is standing next to the painting and saying, "You need to feel this and this," and the painting is saying this and this to you as an audience. But that's what he does with his films. You know, we don't give the answers, but we ask the questions, and now we can have a debate about it, because that's what film should be. Now we have grown together, now we share family, and I'm great friends with his wife, he's great friends with my wife, our children is the same age, so we have a life together. But when he edits the film, I don't see him that half yet. We don't talk, we don't speak, we don't communicate at all. And that's just one of the rules we made in our life. But that half year after the film was done, no contact, because he needs to see the character, and he doesn't need to see his friend or a guy who's going like, "How is it? How is it? Is it good? Am I good?" You don't need that. You just need to focus on the story. And this is no contact at all. Not a text, nothing. And then after half a year and he's finished and he's done the grading and everything, then we meet up like 2 hours every single day and discuss what's happening, what's going on, and we both love cycling.
So what will happen if for some reason he contacts another actor for his next feature?
He should ask another main actor if he wanted to do his film, because I want to share Tobias with the world. But also I'm selfish and I want to keep him for myself, but that's how it is, you know. And then hopefully we'll do a film again in 5-10 years, we don't know. But he should try himself with different actors.
You have experience in both TV and cinema. What do you prefer?
The difference between TV and films is I love TV. I was raised with the TV generation. I think TV's got some opportunities that movies doesn't. What you need to execute in 2 hours, we can spend on 20 hours on the television. So the whole development of the character you can take more lightly, because you know time is on your side. You don't need to go from A to B quickly. You can develop it very easily. And my TV school was Borgen. I had 2 years on that TV show, and it was a gift that I could go into the depth of just one character. And the thing is with Tobias, we talked a lot on air. Then we did a film called The Hijacking. Then we talked 50% on that one. And the last one we did a war now. We hardly talked. We just did the scenes, and because we had a machine that was working. So he would go like, my primary note from Tobias would always be, I would do a scene, and he would come in and say, "Read the script." Then I would take another. It is still like this with our energy, because we're both, you know. He said, "Read the script," you know. And I would read the lines, and I would say, "Blah blah 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 blah." And he said, "Just say it. Say that's how I read it, how I've written it, okay?" And then I would be like, "All right." And then I would say his lines, and he would be like, "Fine, moving on."
What can you tell us about your participation in Game of Thrones?
Game of Thrones is incredible. It's a big, beautiful machine, and I feel so honored. It wasn't supposed to be leaked, but, you know, it's the biggest TV show in the world. It's being aired at 175 countries at the same time. It is so massive. But I'm a big, big fan of the series, and now being a part of that universe, I don't know how long, because I'm not allowed to say anything. They're very strict with the script. It's a good character.
What's it like to be part of such a massive show?
I've done some films, some Danish films, and I did Ben-Hur this year, and I just did an indie film with Kirsten Dunst called Woodchuck, and I did a couple of days on the Great Wall with Pedro Pascal and Matt Damon in China, and you never know you're going to be part of it, because it's small roles. I'm probably going to be edited out, but who gives a shit? I met Matt Damon, who's a fucking awesome dude, and I met Pedro Pascal, who did Game of Thrones, who's an incredible guy as well. So it's becoming more and more a job, but it's the same when you're doing a Danish film. It's just a bigger budget.
Yeah.
But I'll tell you one thing: when I did Punch's Pilot, when we did the the big scene in the circus, of course we need the chariot race. It's a part of the book. There was like 5,000 extras all dressed, and there were 8 chariots racing, and I was standing there. That was impressive. That was awesome. It wasn't acting, it was me really going like, fuck yeah. It's an American studio film, so they have made many of the creative decisions for you, and it's just fun to try. You know, I'm at a point of my career where there's a lot of interesting things happening, and I'm just enjoying it. But now I'm going to take some time off, because, like in the film, he misses his family, and me as an actor, I miss my family now. I haven't been home for 5 months, and I just want to see my little baby girl.
Were American films and TV shows an ambition for you, or did it just happily happen?
No, it was an ambition. It was a big ambition for me when I was a little bit younger, before I had Agnes, my girl. It was an ambition, because I really wanted to try acting with the best actors in the world. And, you know, the American tradition is the best actors in the world, but they know now that they need to bring in more and more international actors, because of the whole technology development, that you can send a tape. I can do an audition in the toilet and then send it to, let's say, A.B. Kaufman in New York, and she'll receive it 5 minutes later, and she can show it to the director in 10 minutes, and then there's this. So the world is, the market is becoming smaller, and so is the world regarding, because of the technology. And that is, as an actor, that is fantastic now, because the world is open.
Who are your favorite directors at the moment?
Who's my favorite directors at the moment? I think a guy Paul Greengrass is incredible. Yeah, he's doing Born with Matt right now. I like Tobias. I really, really like working with him, even though he's a bitch towards me sometimes. And who else is one of my favorite directors? I want to work with Lars von Trier.
Has your career since our always been a straight up line, or have there been moments in which you as an actor felt insecure or unsatisfied?
I always, if I'm not satisfied with a product that I've done, I would never say it out loud. I would never criticize something that I've been a part of, because I know how tough it is to make a film, and I'm not a critic. I'm so much involved in it, and my own private taste I keep for myself. You know, I learned it on the first film I ever did, which is called Worlds Apart, which is a Danish film about Jehovah Witnesses, and an actor criticized it, a colleague of mine criticized it, and he was a part of it, and I just felt it was so pathetic. You know why? Don't criticize it in public. You can criticize it within us. If we did this film together, I can go like, I didn't think we did it good enough. All right, why didn't we do it good enough? Because blah, 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 blah. So I would never do it publicly, but it's been like, I've been very, very lucky. I've been lucky that I meet the producer called Dani, the one who produced all of our films. I met him at a private party because I was doing a play just after school. He introduced me to Tobias. And then that collaboration ended up with a hijacking and now a war. And he was a writer on Borgen, and he got me into becoming Casper Yu. So, you know, like I told you, I owe him everything right now.
Once you've taken part in such big US productions, isn't it frustrating coming back to do lower budget films, provided that the difficulties are frequently harder?
Yeah, but that's the name of the game. If I can't be, you know, I have to. I've established myself in Denmark and in Scandinavia, and I want to establish myself in European films, because I think right now I think Europe is the place to be, with this TV and with movies and stuff like that. But you want to try. You want to try be on a set on a $150 million film. I want to try that. I want to try ride in the Gobi Desert on a horse with full gallop. Because, you know, if I was born 100 years ago, I would have been a sailor. I want to see the world, and now I have a job where it's possible, and I love it. But of course, the challenge is not maybe in acting, but the language. So, but then I have something to work for. Then I have a goal. You know, if you shoot for the stars, you may hit the moon or vice versa.
Does acting come easy to you?
No, I work hard. I have a saying, and this is like a cliche way of saying it. It's 10% talent, and then it's 90% work, hard work, and then it's 5% luck. And then if you're a math whiz, you say, but that's 105, and I say, exactly, that's the luck, you know? Because that 5%, you cannot decide yourself. And I've been extremely lucky, but I'm working really, really hard. I've done 4 productions this year. That's the reason why I haven't seen my film, my family. And I'm 33 years old, and I gotta work hard. I come from a family where we work. And if you want to have a good lifestyle, you need to work. You know that. We all know that. We're part of the same generation. But I'm very thorough. You've seen you referred to R, and you've seen a hijacking, and now you've seen a war. You can see that a hijacking was much more spectacular acting for me somewhere. What I mean is that I have more like, where energy was released. I don't release any energy except in the war sequence, in a war, at the fighting, because I don't want to show off. It's not my job as an actor to show off, oh, I can do this. Look at me. It's my job as an actor to disappear. So you see Claus Michael Pedersen and not Peter Asbæk trying to do something new as an actor. That's what I like. That's why I like working with Tobias, because I want to do the everyday guy.
Is it something you always knew, or something that you learned? Yeah, a lot of young actors wouldn't agree.
They want to show off. They want to lose 25 kilos and go like, I'm method acting. Method acting is not losing 25 kilos. It's physical acting. Good acting is showing off sometimes. It depends on the role and the script and the story and the director and where you are in your life. But right now, I don't want to show off. I just want to do good, steady work. That's the reason why I love Gene Hackman. You know, Gene Hackman is one of the most respected actors, because he's just like French Connection. It's not him showing off; it's just him doing the role. And I like that. You know, give me 10 years, and I'll build a muscle every single day, and then I'll do a new character. I can also just pick the good story where the character is very different from the one I did before, and then do that role. You know,
what else would you like to do? What kind of character?
I want to do something in the Middle East. Maybe not with Tobias, but I want to do something in the Middle East. I want to do something. I just saw Apocalypse Now. I want to do that, just with the Middle East. I want a guy who goes filtrating, like goes into the jungle to find this guy. I just want to do it. You know, it doesn't make sense. I only have this picture, you know, of instead of going up the river, he's driving into the desert or something. That's what I want to do. But it's going to take 5 years to write a script and stuff like that. Let's see if the world hasn't exploded at that time.
What was it like making The Great Wall?
I only did a couple of days on it, and I only had scenes with American actors. It was great fun, because, like I said, I've never ridden a horse in the Gobi Desert, and that gave me the opportunity to ride a horse. Within a month, I shot a film in North California, and I was in the Gansu province in the middle of fucking nowhere in China. That was surreal with my family. That was like, I was like, all right, this is extreme. And that's also the reason why now we're taking some time off to do nothing, which is maybe the most difficult thing here in life, to do nothing.
Do you manage to see these places while you're working? Have you seen anything here in Venice?
No, it sucks, man. It's kind of weird, because it's such a selfish way to do a festival, you know? You come down, you show your film, you try to sell it, but then you fuck off. It's not the festival spirit, you know? The festival spirit, if we were all cool socialist people, we would go like, yeah, we would see each other's films. You never do that.
How about the soldiers took part in the film, are they still in active duty?
That was the thing, because it was, for me, it's a movie. I want to tell a great story, and honestly, that's how I feel with it. But these guys, when we, let me give you an example, when we finish on the Friday with shooting the film, they go back on work Monday morning being militants, being soldiers. So we owe these guys everything, because they need to wake up with this film every single day the rest of their life, and they need to defend it. So that's the reason why we did it so realistic and authentic. And like Tobias said, I'm not amused over my own imagination. I love that sentence. He said it yesterday at the press conference, and I totally agree. You know, because reality is so much more crazier. But that's a cliche. But there's a reason why a cliche is, because it's the truth.
Didn't the military ask for the script beforehand?
No, they didn't. That's the reason why we didn't do this. This is an unnamed group in an unnamed place in Afghanistan. And that's because we don't want people to feel, oh, it's my story. This is a universal story. This can be watched by Italians or Americans or British or French or Belgians. All the warfare nations and all the people have related to that. Daddy's away, mommy's home, mommy has her own war, so does daddy. But there's also the war in the courtroom, and that's what I think is so original about this story, that we spend 1 hour establishing characters only to go to the war room.
Could you read the whole script before shooting?
I read the script, but Tobias didn't give me the last 5 pages. So when we shot the scene where I get my, if I'm guilty or not, I didn't know. That was the last day of shooting. We shot with 2 cameras, one pointing on Tuva and one pointing on me. And you can see it's a long lens and a close-up lens. And I didn't know, so my reaction is a guy who's been struggling with this character for 2 months. But that's the reason why I don't do anything.
Thank you for being with us, Pilo Aspek, star of Tobias Lindholm's A War. You're listening to Fred Film Radio, the Festival Insider.
Fred Film Radio, 24/7 on Fred.fm and smartphone apps.